to suggest you're saying that your first job was at Walmart? I have no idea.
I mean, you know, but yes, it was the useful thing in being doing it because the first job we had was in one of my research students in America. He became the creator of the Air and Space Museum, which in America is the same complex. You have to be an American citizen for the job in the Smithsonian. So, our first job, in fact, in the Smithsonian, you can realize how useful it was to be American.
So, then you went back to the UK after the 60s?
Yes, year and a half is the year and a half is the year and a half is the year.
So when did you get into the summary of the history of London?
Oh well, what happened was I went back to St Andrews where I worked for the summer. When I'd been at Oxford, I'd been very interested in the history of the physics program. And in fact, I had a history of science by the about the June. You may or may not have come across the June as his name commemorated nowadays in the community of Kingsborough, Kingsborough June. I decided I'd like to take some qualification in history of science, and the best place in the country at that time was University College London. So, and by that time, I was now a good family, and so I had to have a job to support me. The interesting aspect, I think, a job at the British Museum in the Department of Printed Books and Manuscripts, enhancing the science collection. So I got that job, and I took the qualification in history and philosophy of science part time. UCL, if you perhaps remember, UCL is 5 years north from the British Museum. So, that's where I got to, but then, very oddly, just before I finished it, the University at Leicester offered two posts, one to start up astronomy, and the other to start up history and science. So I applied to both of them, to the room they gave me. So I continued doing astronomy, history, science and power. But at the same time I got to the British Museum to work there, and I got to do radio and communication. I met there twice when I was there for the first time. This was the 1960s. And we just published a year or so before I met him in the scientific journals. And I thought, well, this is a happy way to go looking at things. So I also got some money at Westwood to set up various centres, a couple of centres, doing communications. And so these things all went on together for 20 years. And then I got there in communication to come here and take over this department. And so, yeah, the same part of the same thing.
So you were left with that thing,
right?
Mm-hmm. But, Jeff, there's another movement here that seems to be sort of looking at international science. You were one of the early people who really go into the study of international science at that level.
Well, actually, that was the communication part, you see, because I suppose the bit that I extrapolated was this. What Boris was pointing out is that the later growth of the publication was such that it couldn't be maintained in the literature, but it was exceeding the growth rate. So the obvious question to ask myself is what's the implication? The implication to me is that publications don't have to go down a different route to send it on in a different way. So what I've been interested in is the impact explain what the soul is completely.
Okay? Okay, it's maybe for the last sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
mechanical marvels are really good. So basically, what I got interested in was the impact of computers on communication, not just the communication itself, but all the data. I mean, if you have a user publication page, you have to publish your reader. And when you want to change this, you just get to report. So what I was really interested in was everything that the impact of changing communication.
So, I mean, how did you go about doing so much study?
So,
and what were you finding with that?
First question, it's certainly the easiest, but I'm also wondering if it's useful, was to concentrate upon research publications in a particular way that were of importance in private profession. The basic reason behind that was, first of all, your colleagues are duty bound to spend questions about it. But secondly, universities are the only place I know where you get all subject areas working in roughly the same way, you know, all being funded together, all communicating in similar things that we can. If you go out to the industry, for example, you're not going to find any historians communicating in the same. So, first of all, how to do it, and once you start asking things, to concentrate on communication with the related to universities, university publishing, and other things.
What you found? I mean, apropos just of what you're saying, did you have any contact with the folk who were looking at the sort of sequence of communication of science? It was really psychology, wasn't it? Over Drexel.
In fact, I've just written a piece for which is totally unrecognizable. And yet, I'm amazed and hoping that I'm using it here, particularly in the third edition, I'm using it as their first line of reading. It's nice to read the name, and then if people put up rubbish, this thing comes to be known, and I'm going to be able to read it here, don't you? It's a good function.
So we have a kind of collection process going on, and then we
it's an understatement. It started, of course, everybody is a member of a large team, and so there's a lot of work in the team. But even in other areas now, it seems to be. So I'm not sure it was worth.
Yes, I mean, so these studies of yours were focused primarily on the scientific.
The real issue in the 70s, and in the 80s, I began to be interested in communication with humanities. The study was set up two centers. The other one in the 80s was the study of communication with humanities, specifically, so there hadn't been so much chemistry. And so I suppose what developed permanently in the 90s and now is the scientific stuff. I'm interested in that. And so, what the differences really are between communication
spoken in terms of setting up centre for its investigation. And I think I'm not sure that I understand what you mean by a centre in the sense that I think of something that would be in the state or in Australia that is very elaborate to have all sorts of institutional kind of boundaries and important measures and so on. But the way you're saying it's just in something much more flexible and focusable in terms of shifting interest. But I'm into that. So I wonder if you...
They're both small issues. I mean, the kind of communication is really part of the future. Communication is known to be a small issue. But they're both small issues, perhaps. I suppose, in a sense, because I was offered the money to do it. And that being the situation, in a sense, by the time we both gave me a burden, Thank you. not the person who is. But we are proven by the Ministry of Health. They have been medical research council supports care. The Ministry of Department of Support of the Friends. And one of the government's decided that there was too much care in the human society, so transferred a pile of money across from the medical system to the employment. The problem was not that they were unhappy with the money, but first of all, there was the problem of what can you specialize in, what can you serve them. And this is an interesting one because the investigation found that the areas they had run as priority was equally much about in some cases, but there were many researchers in the field. So in fact research had to be concentrated on areas where there were researchers, which is a chicken and egg with the egg coming from this institution. But then there was a problem that researchers did the research, but practitioners knew nothing about it. And so where we came in was trying to say, well, how do you come to this situation? It's quite interesting. We have a good.
And what's the benefit? I mean, the theory of practical outcomes of that in this sort of situation?
No. Well, I mean, one of the things that comes out of it really is that you have bigger problems with the private sector because the motivation of the private sector is not necessarily the same as yours. Therefore, if you've got certain stuff that is critical to your research, you don't really do what you need to do. So, if you're going to try this, you don't necessarily need to be questioning about it. So, for that again, but there also is the problem, which lots of other people find, which is interesting about the way in which the research is done. This is you see back in the 80s. Before life was published specifically. And there was an interruption in the research. Well, what I wanted to do is to say how can we do some of these things now. The interruption in the research is really difficult to decide this question because at this critical stage of the research, the people who knew all about it couldn't do this. You know, because you had a few years of research, 9 months before the end of the smart life effect. People only said that she was coming to the end of a thousand years of work, 6 months before the end of the year. In some cases, all that's left of the research team is actually a public place. Public health to go to 5% because they were trying to project the name of the people. So the report itself sometimes got actually there. And then they say, what is it to go to the seminar? So the answer could answer a question, money to this people, but you can actually add on a sum of money to the seminar. So okay, we'll give you 3 months more money. During that 3 months, you get the concentrated value of the condition.
And
there are ways of doing it, for instance, but they also cross back some of the funding to put it in the search fund, which went off on the very things which nobody in the world is interested in except in the search.
So, Jeff, were you involved with the professionalization of international science, doing the setting up of institutes?
That was before my time, it was in the 50s.
Yeah.
When by certain years in the Indians, well, that was a technology association system, and that was there. I went to a number of things, going back to the university, and I did very much was in the 50s.
Yeah, that was.
So, undergone various transmutations. But back in the 60s, the research department of the library was quite a new body for significant research in this country.
This was under Leslie Wilson.
That's right. This was right. That's right. People did those things to the around the group, and Martin, you know.
This was a really, very important part of the landscape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is indeed my first meeting with you.
But it's a sudden basis.
should be respected. And the other is to be sincere.
So let's come back though to the major topic earlier. You had the sentence of the setup and some communication to use the interest in the comparative study of communication between communication scientists and communication humanists represent our stories, I think, with the dimension. Tell me something more about the diversity of the because, I mean, you were one of the earliest, I think, of the people who were seriously studying the kind of bringing to it a background, a formal background of social science and research, and the unusual and social
research. Sure, it's very, very interesting. Most of the stuff I actually turned up in the room, it's not that much to do that. But, then kind of escape the particular ideas on what somebody is expecting. And one of the ideas on humans is that people, you can't simply go to latitude of the human, in order to see everything within, you have to go to the human.
Now, the third
happens because abstract training may not be really dramatic and very active for one time in an abstract training. So when they were researching, they were putting all those small things, distinguished from the top of them. Well, I don't know when they had plenty of time to read it, of course, what people would be more of them if they were going to use it from the abstract. So, clearly, this is ridiculous to have it from small things, because it's from which it's in prison to set. And so the modern thing is to come to the impact. Directly to have the abstract and bigger thing, often the old type, than the fixed, which is the concept. But what is the example of evolution which follows from the way that the thing is developed? No, no, it was very solitary. I remember after we rejected it, one of the prominent secretaries of the World Society came and thanked me because he'd been trying to persuade him for the last 2 years to change the approach to the journal. If you look at them now, you find that they are very interesting when they're not in the last 2 years. And some of them are very interesting. So, yes, I think
so you would have also been very massive in the online computer version.
So that's what I spent the last 3 years. Well, not many years, but particularly the last 3 years. That's where I actually devised the first level of it from the first. After the new nation, before I came to the new nation, I was more than the world. And it was one of the reasons why I was being a king. It's extremely difficult, technically, so many things in the community. And that's the interesting thing to me, is that there's no problem now really with technology. Problem is indeed with technology. Over the last 20 years or so, what can you see is it's all developed. One thing in Venus, you know, is that you can't believe it. that and it would be worth our university to go to some religious questions. The idea is, if you have a central index, you would need an abstract. If you put up a paper on your own university site at the university, and people can see from the work of the world.
Yes, and there's no reason why they can't do
to win somebody at home and do that. You know, that's the worst question to say. That's the kind of thing that we need to do.
Started up back in the 60s, and Some of those studies are now have some commercial.
Well, they do.
Being taken into the commercial arena.
This trek thing.
Yes.
Where they go over, they all get together to see who can retrieve best. It's almost a throwback in principle to the Cranfield approach, yeah. Where you had a given set of data and you tried to see who could do best.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, in a sense, is. But the fundamental breakthroughs were made early on. There haven't actually been breakthroughs in principle in recent years. What's happened is the application has come in and become very commercially important. But still, yeah, so there was that line of descent, so to speak, that I saw grow up. I can't say I ever wanted to be an information retriever myself, but it's interesting to observe.
Yes, because it became one of these components of this very amorphous field of information science.
Yes, well, there was a fish for Oh, yes. Books, of course.
Oh, very good.
Yes, Bertie was another one. Bertie has some wonderful stories about UCL. Your tape's too short for me to tell them.
Yeah, it's probably long enough to have one or two.
Well, let me tell you one, anyway. Bertie was at UCL. Yeah. And also there was Halday, geneticist and statistician. And Halday had a most obnoxious wife. Actually, I came across it myself. I think she was a nurse. I heard Haldane lecture at Oxford when I was there. And he got underway, and there was this woman in the front row who, as he got underway, said, "No, you got that one wrong." That's his wife. Anyway, he said that, this was in wartime, talking about, he said that Haldane's wife, in fact, was anti-war and made it stridently obvious. And at one point, she was incarcerated in Holloway Jail for her protests. And the provost of the college, the head of the college, came in and said, "Look, somebody must go down and bail her out." And everybody refused to go. And Bertie said, in the end, the provost said, "You will do it, or your head's on the line." So he said he had to go and bail her out. He was the most unpopular man in the city. Yeah, Bertie was great fun.
Yeah.
Very, very strict on statistics. I remember an argument with him on that matter, and I'm sure he was right. But,
Well, he was sort of very important in terms of genetic studies.
Yes, there was a lot. That was where I started, really, on the geometric studies. And as I say, my first paper was there back in the 60s. Actually on the geometric studies. So when cytometrics and whatever got going, I got pulled in, of course. It's now a much more complicated subject than it was then. We don't stand by it.
This is, I think, become very high mathematics.
Yes. It's a squid, you know. It's quite an interesting squid still. I still make it a reference to it. But yeah, it was that area that a lot of us got interested in at that period, because it seemed to offer ways of making firmer statements than had been possible in the past.
Was this partly stimulated too by the advent of the Science Citation Index? I mean, how were the data gathered?
Manually, as far as I was concerned, and but yeah, I mean, once they were available...
They came along in the 60s.
Yes, in terms of having a backlog of data, it took a little while. The tapes weren't available, basically. You still had to look through them. I needed at least to go through the things manually. But Bertie went on to become visiting professor of City and continued on to a rifle page to I diverted. The reason I diverted was that for Bertie's Festschrift I wrote a paper on the role of theory in information science, you see. The real question, and it wasn't a very good title, but the real question was, how can you picture information science? Is it really a discipline or not? You know, long question. And what I was trying to say was that there was a basis there, but you had to think of it like a landscape in which there were a series of mountains and a fair number of hollows in between. And the highest mountain of the lot was information control.
Yeah.
Since then, some of the other mountains have come up. I mean, another mountain was bibliometrics, but the question was, the hollow between bibliometrics and information tree, was there something that could fill in that hollow, or were they really separate mountains? And I felt that there was something that filled it in.
And I think that's happened subsequently.
It's happening now.
Yes.
So, you know, as this happens, as the landscape begins to fill out, so that you can discern better that there actually is a subject here.
Well, I think, too, the social studies of communications, science, and so on, that would be pretty much one of those hills. Well, certainly a fairly high hill. So there's a lot of interest in that, and continues to be.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you sit back and think of it, you can see various points. think one of the might have been.
Well, user studies is an
information area. Management is another area, and the rest of it, knowledge management. I'm just finishing a book at the moment, which I'm trying after many years, and still failing, to distinguish between data and information and knowledge. You know, perennial question, but if you don't actually know what you're talking about with those, how are you going to map out the surface? So it is a problem. But nonetheless, there is a subject area.
Well, I think, I mean, one sign of it is that all the people who are doing work that they see as related to something, that you can identify or define it in, perhaps in sociological terms, so what everybody is doing and the connections that they believe to exist. So I myself get the definitional problem often seems to be rather barren.
It is
a place of speculation.
I mean, there is a paper that appeared in Information Processing and Management a while ago. Unfair to say by a Chinese, but no doubt it has its points, which went through categories of information which you said covered 367 different definitions. But so, but you know, it is, but it doesn't alter the fact that are we talking about the same thing if we talk about information in DNA and information in what you and I are saying to each other?
Yes, quite. And I think most of us, up to some point, would say these are different sorts of information.
Yeah, the question is up to what point? Right. That's the interesting one.
Yeah. I sort of touched on some of this in the last time I wrote some time ago.
Yes,
yeah, and then I just said, well, let's move on.
Yeah, well,
because no final answer is possible.
It is.
So you establish a limit for your own purposes and then do whatever.
Absolutely. So the reason I was writing this is because teaching introductory information science to students, you have to be able to give them a coherent picture. Now, there are any number of coherent pictures. So it's merely a question of saying, well, which coherent picture do I think is easiest for the beginners to get alongside? Mm-hmm.
I also think that if you look at some of these discussions, they're in disagreement at the edges. So it becomes a question of where do you draw a line around something. And it all seems to be, well, you know, if somebody draws it there or there, it's pretty much the whole thing.
Yes, I mean, in general, I agree with you, yeah. But one has to be a little bit careful about literature because literature can drive events. I mean, if you look at the, FID is an example, documentation. That word documentation has separated out categories of people, so to speak, because it means one thing over in Eastern Europe, or has become to mean in Eastern Europe, and another one in Western Europe. So you can be talking at odds to each other.
Yes. Well, I think informatics is another one of those terms.
Yes. We, in fact, the department here, as you may have gathered, is going to move in next year as well, and be combined in another organization, one sort of building with computer sciences and human sciences. And there was a question about what one might call that umbrella, and informatics is one of the names that came up. Vice Chancellor liked informatics, but none of the people in the departments liked it because they thought it gave the wrong
signal. What did you decide?
That's been decided, actually. I mean, we don't actually have to give it a name. The departments are going to remain separate entities. They're not going to be united. So we don't actually have to give it a name. But it would be nice to have some umbrella term for the building. You know, I'd fact, all the new buildings down there call themselves business studies. Painted badly inside the windows. The Mercury Chair has this problem, as I think you were saying, that it can divide.
Yes, sir. The major division so far has been the library. We use the term library and what it connotes. And a range of these other terms.
Yes.
Science, information studies, and natural documentation.
The library, in a sense, has been easy because you know what a library is, or you think you do, but you don't know what information is. But if the problem is in information, there isn't a kind of institutional thing that you can put in the same way. The problem is that in computer science there is. It's rather similar in the sense you say, look, there's a computer. And computer science is it sort of overlaps with information science increasingly. It's introducing its own terminology. And the nomenclature again tends to divide rather than to.